countries. Reporters shared their notebooks with the CIA. Editors shared their staffs. A December 26, 1977 investigative report in the New York Times described the scope of the CIA's global campaign to influence opinion through media manipulation. In its persistent efforts to shape world opinion, the CIA has been able to call upon an extensive network of newspapers, news services, magazines, publishing houses, broadcasting stations, and other entities over which it has at various lines had some control. A decade ago, when the agency's communications empire was at its peak, it embraced more than 500 news and public information organizations and individuals. According to one CIA official, they ranged in importance from Radio Free Europe to a third string guy in Quito who could get something in local paper. The CIA funded those foreign journalistic assets generously. Bernstein emphasized that the most valuable of the close associations were with the New York Times, CBS, and Time Incorporation, the publisher of both Time and Newsweek. In fact, the New York Times alone provided cover for about 10 CIA operatives over a nearly two-decade period. The aid furnished often took two forms, providing jobs and credentials, journalistic cover in agency parlance, for CIA operatives about to be posted in foreign capitals, and lending the agency the undercover services of reporters already on staff, including some of the best-known correspondents in the business. CBS News, though, gave the Times some competition for the designation of the CIA's most useful press asset. CBS was unquestionably the CIA's most valuable broadcasting asset. Over the years, the network not only provided cover for CIA employees, the network allowed reports by CBS correspondents to the Washington and New York newsrooms to be routinely monitored by the CIA. Reforms enacted in late 1970s after investigative hearings by the Senate Intelligence Committee, chaired by Senator Frank Church, supposedly brought an end to such CIA penetration of the press. However, evidence of recent media intelligence agency collaboration suggests that while the manipulation may have become more subtle, it has not gone away. A startling September 2014 exclusive report in The Intercept confirmed that the problem of excessively close ties between the CIA and certain prominent journalists is not a merely a historical artifact. Intercept reporter Ken Silverstein obtained several hundred pages of documents from the agency regarding that issue in response to two Freedom of Information Act applications. The heavily redacted documents provided only limited enlightenment. The unredacted portions consisted primarily of correspondence from reporters and columnists to the agency, while the replies from CIA personnel were mostly blacked out. As Silverstein noted, it's impossible to know precisely how the CIA flags responded to reporters' queries, because the emails show only one side of the conversations. The CIA redacted virtually all of the press handlers' replies, other than meager comments that were made explicitly on the record, citing the CIA Act of 1949, which exempts the agency from having to disclose intelligence sources and methods. Silverstein pointed out arcly that the contents of off-the-record or background emails from CIA press handlers might disclose sources and methods, depending on whether you view manipulation of American reporters as an intelligence method. even with the extensive redactions, the abundance of the email exchanges with reporters from the Associated Press, Washington Post, New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, and other major outlets indicate that the very close professional and sometimes personal relationships seem to exist between those journalists and the CIA. Silverstein focused much of his attention on the behavior of Ken Dilanian, a national security reporter for the Los Angeles Times, who later joined the Associated Press and still later NBC News. His relationship with the CIA certainly raised some troubling questions. Silverstein charged that numerous emails show that Dilanian enjoyed a closely collaborative relationship with the agency, explicitly promising positive news coverage and sometimes sending the press office entire story drafts for review prior to publication. In at least one instance, the CIA's reaction appears to have led to significant changes in the story that was eventually published in the Times. Clearing stories in advance and carrying official cooperation and approval automatically compromises the integrity of the journalist's handiwork. One of the CIA's long-standing favorite tactics is to generate favorable, including outright bogus, news stories in foreign media outlets, with the expectation that American outlets will eventually pick them up. There is no question that the U.S. government still recruits foreign journalists for propaganda missions in their home countries. For example, the United States and Britain have mounted an extensive joint propaganda effort regarding the Syrian war, using an array of West Asian reporters and columnists. The potential blowback phenomenon is a worrisome example of how the intelligence agencies can manipulate the debate on a foreign policy issue in the United States. It is unsettling how often most mainstream media outlets advance the agenda of the narrative put forth by the CIA and other portions of the national security state. More recently, the news media disseminated allegations that Saddam Hussein had a vast arsenal of weapons of mass destruction. Nearly all that information came from Iraqi exiles that the CIA supplied to friendly journalists, including New York Times reporter Judith Miller. Perhaps most striking major media outlets, especially the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, and MSNBC, have avidly joined the National Security State's campaign to demonize Russia. Those media heavyweights enthusiastically promoted the false narrative about the collusion between Donald Trump's campaign and the Russian government to influence the 2016 presidential election. Even worse, they parroted the CIA's unsupported far-fetched allegation that Moscow had paid the Taliban bounties to kill American soldiers. It is possible that the willingness of journalists to be megaphones for the CIA on such issues merely reflects inherent gullibility. However, given the long track record of collusion, it is likely that the intelligence community is systematically working with willing allies. The American people who count on the news profession to provide them with accurate, independent information about foreign affairs are the ultimate victims.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We were discussing verse number 9, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to preoccupy him through worry from observing his obligations and acting according to his tradition. And we mentioned what was essential. Inshallah, we can even try to reflect more and gain more pearls from this beautiful supplication of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Thereafter, Imam in the next verse says,
فَقَدْ ضِقْتُ لِمَا نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّ ذَرْغَى وَامْتَلَأْتُ بِحَمْلِ مَا حَدَثَ عَلَيَّ هَمَّا وَأَنْتَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَى كَشْفِ مَا مُنِيتُ بِهِ ودفع ما وقعت فيه فافعل بي ذلك وإن لم أستوجبه منك يا ذا العرش العظيم.
فقد ضقت لما نزل بي يا ربي ذرعا وامتلأت بحمل ما حدث علي هما وأنت القادر على كشف ما منيت به ودفع ما وقعت فيه فافعل بي ذلك وإن لم أستوجبه منك يا ذا العرش العظيم. The translation of which is, indeed, my capacity has been straitened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me, and I am filled with worry by caring what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me and to repel that into which I have fallen. So do that for me, though I merit it not from you, O possessor of the mighty throne. Here, obviously, there are different discussions we can make and we can try to reflect upon. But let's look at phrase by phrase, as has been our method. فَقَدْ ضِقْتُ لِمَا نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّي ذَرْعًا. That means, indeed, my capacity has been straightened and narrowed down. Straightened here means to narrow down. So, indeed, my capacity has been straightened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me. Now, here, some lexicographers like Jauhari translates the phrase, for example, ضِقْتَ بِالْأَمْرِ ذَرْعًا, which means لَمْ تُطِقْهُ, that means that, you know, you are not able to bear it. When we say, you see, this is an expression whereby the human being says that, oh Allah, because of what has transpired on me, or because of what has befallen me, my capacity has been straightened, it has become narrow, I cannot bear the situation, and so on. Now here, there is a very beautiful thing that we must understand. And that is, you see, when we talk of فَقَدْ ضِقْتُ لِمَا نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّي ذَرْعًا, my capacity has been straightened. Capacity is in different forms and in different levels. Sometimes the capacity is a physical capacity, and sometimes it is a spiritual capacity. Here, apparently, we are talking of the spiritual capacity of a person, that a person, due to what has befallen him, becomes constricted, and not only that, his capacity is narrowed down. Now, when we talk of capacity being narrowed down, it is not a small thing. It is not only a kind of constriction of the heart. It is not qabd, as we say, which is the opposite of bast. This situation is that your capacity narrows down due to the actions that you have done, and because of those actions, the reactions and the corollaries and the events that ensue after that, that makes you actually, that makes your situation such that it narrows down your capacity. For example, due to a lot of sin, a calamity befalls you in such a way that you cannot remember. That is one of the worst calamities a person can get, especially tangibly see this in old people, when they cannot remember in such a way that they cannot remember even their own offsprings, even their own children who are near them. That is one of the worst adversities a person, especially when it comes to the person's honor in this world, is concerned. This is one thing that happens because of a person's own deeds.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Obviously, it should not be misconceived that, you know, everyone who is facing these problems is due to the sins and the problems that they have created for themselves. It can be other reasons, but you will find that one of the reasons for this is the sins and the way of life that a person has had. Of course, there are people, the great people, who due to the physical makeup and the genetic makeup and other reasons, they have failures and they have problems, and they were virtuous people. And therefore, this is something that, you know, comes about because of old age, as a person becomes old. And sometimes the calamity is imposed on a person. He is not the person who performed the problems himself. He did not have a bad life, he had a good life, but due to the jealousy of another person, this was imposed on him. Obviously, such a person gets a lot of ajr and a lot of reward because of the patience he will be having up to the end of his life if this problem cannot be rectified. But we also should understand that there are a number of people, due to the style of life that they had, they lose their senses, they lose their capacities. You'll find in a very early age, whereas there are other people at a later age, they lose their capacities. These people, due to the way of their lifestyle and due to the sins they have committed, due to the problems they have created and so on, they suffer and the calamities come about. And therefore, this is a kind of constriction of their capacities that they have. You have to also take care of your decisions. When you sleep, when you eat, how much you eat, whom do you meet, what kind of friends do you have, how do you spend your time, all these. If a person does not take care of that, then eventually that state of constriction or the state of narrowing of the capacities will come about naturally. And that is when a person is afflicted with problems. And when a person is afflicted with problems is when he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, it can also be perhaps when we say, فَقَدِّقْتُ لِمَا نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّي ذَرْعًا. Indeed, my capacity has been straightened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me. Perhaps Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is trying to say the state of constriction of the heart. But apparently, you find that the verse talks of something of a higher level, a level which is really disturbing. And sometimes it can be not that the person is, you know, has lost his memory or his way of reflection and all this. All these are proper because he utilized his life properly. The thing is that spiritually he cannot do what he is supposed to do. For example, if he is told that at least during the 24 hours, perform the two raka'as, that is after Salatul Isha, as the supererogatory prayer, or perform some good deeds like give sadaqah and all that. You find the person doesn't have the capacity because he himself says, no, I don't have money, for example. And why should I recite the supererogatory prayers because it is not compulsory on me, and so on. He tries to take out reasons. This person's capacity is narrowed down. It doesn't mean that it cannot widen, no. Unless the person's capacity is not beyond that, and that is another subject. So inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought.
Salam everybody. Today is the 28th of Rajab, the day when the Prophet's grandson, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, was forced to leave his hometown Medina because of the pressures of the Umayyad rulers. Here is what the martyr of Karbala has said in order to awaken the conscience of the seekers of truth and justice who never yield to oppression. Yazid is a corrupt man who imbibes wine, puts to death the soul which Allah forbids to be harmed, and declares his debauchery in public. A man like me will never give pledge of allegiance to a man like him.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to the lighter side of the news. It's great to have you with us. Now, the first gorilla born in the Berlin Zoo in 16 years finally has a name. The naming day was celebrated with no visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, zookeepers made the day special for the tiny gorilla and her first-time mother with their favorite treats. The baby was born in mid-February. After a few weeks, the zoo received over 17,000 name suggestions for her. The low number of female firefighters across the world may indicate women's lack of interest in the job, but this female-only Brazilian firefighter crew is here to prove the opposite. The all-female team say their main goal is to empower women through the work they do. They say they are willing to prove that women can take any job that can help society. The firefighting crew started their activity just on Monday on International Women's Day. They work in southeastern Brazilian state. Although women have a variety of fire service roles in different countries, they account for less than 20% of firefighters worldwide. A Swedish scuba diver is using his skills to clean up the underwater environment.
My name is Fredrik Johansson, and 2 years ago I started up a project called Rena Malaren. We have two goals. One is to get a lot of toxic waste up from the water, and the other thing is to make people aware of this planet and to do better.
A number of Swedish scuba divers have voluntarily joined Johansson's program. They pull out harmful waste and trash from waterways and lakes. Johansson says he is shocked by the number of polluting fragments discovered in the Swedish marine environment. He says one of the main polluting factors is lead batteries discarded from boats. He says many waterways in the capital, Stockholm, are littered with these used batteries.
A new study has revealed a sad fact. Humans have destroyed around two-thirds of the world's tropical rainforests. According to a report by Rainforest Foundation Norway, logging and land conversion has ruined 34% of tropical rainforests. They have also caused degradation of another 30%, which makes the forest more vulnerable to fire and destruction. The report says that since 2002, over half of the vanishing has occurred in South America's Amazon. Experts believe the loss of tropical forests makes climate change worse. Japan is famous for its vending machines, but the technology is now being used to improve public access to coronavirus test kits. A group of medical experts in a clinic has set up 7 vending machines across the capital, Tokyo, to sell their test kits. Customers take the PCR test and then mail off their saliva sample for processing. Each machine holds 60 kits. The idea was met with great enthusiasm from people. It helps them to avoid crowded clinics.
Without PCR tests, we can't make a diagnosis. Early diagnosis and early treatment is a basic idea for all diseases. But unfortunately, there is no treatment for COVID-19. So I strongly felt that we had to do early diagnosis and early isolation.
Experts believe the number of PCR tests conducted in Japan is extremely low. They hope that the initiative can increase the figure. The machines sell the kits at around $40 each.
Teams of racing dog enthusiasts have converged on the Russian city of Irkutsk to participate in a 150-kilometer marathon on ice. The contest was held on the icy surface of the famous Baikal Lake. The racers, who started off at 5 p.m., had to put up tents and use warm equipment to withstand temperatures as low as minus 12 degrees Celsius to spend the night. Participants are free to choose their tactics throughout the race.
What's good about this race is its straightforward format. Now the racers start off and we will stop the clock when they arrive. Where they sleep and eat and how they cover the distance is a matter of their personal strategy and tactics. This is a contest for the real athletes.
The dogs can help their owners find the right direction in case they are lost on the frosty path. They can seek help from other rivals too. The Baikal race is an annual event that was held for the seventh consecutive time this year.
Get ready for a big dose of cuteness. In India, dozens of little turtles have been released into sea. Forest officials in a southern Indian town let loose 131 endangered turtle hatchlings. They had kept the eggs for over 50 days until the day came to set them free. The environmentalists also plan to release four other cute turtles, which are still too shy to come out of their cozy eggs. Marine turtles have existed for more than 100 million years. The numbers have fallen in the past few years due to human activities. Moving on, NASA's Mars rover, Perseverance, has successfully completed its first ever test drive on the red planet. The six-wheeled rover traveled more than 6 meters in 33 minutes. NASA officials called the mission a huge milestone. They also released images showing the robot's wheel tracks on the surface of the planet and surrounding landscape. NASA engineers say they are now preparing for the first flight of a helicopter drone carried by the rover. Perseverance was launched last summer and landed on Mars earlier in February. Its main goal is to search for traces of ancient microbial life there. It is going to collect soil and rock samples from the Martian surface and send them back to the Earth in the next decade for analysis.
An Australian conservation group says it will build the world's first ever platypus refuge facility.
We're also going to build a platypus refuge, one of its kinds around the world. This refuge will be able to take up to 6 to 5 platypuses in a time of crisis. Right now there is so much to learn about the platypus, and we know so little. These facilities will be critical in building our knowledge so that we don't let this iconic creature slip off the earth.
Platypuses are among Australia's most unique and elusive animals. They're normally found across the country's eastern seaboard. The strange-looking creatures are the only remaining representatives of their family. They spend most of their lifetime underwater and alone. Australian authorities say the planned refuge facility can give them more information about the animal's preferred environment and breeding. Many habits of the platypuses have remained a mystery to researchers. A family therapist in the U.S. state of California has come up with a brilliant idea to calm her angry clients, and that's a rage room. Yashika offers stressed people a smash session. The participants are allowed to destroy different items with a hammer, golf club, or baseball bat. They are required to wear protective gloves and face shields. During the session, the therapist also tries to teach the participants different ways to manage their stress in a healthy way.
So it's actually the first rage room to incorporate a therapeutic aspect. So when people come in, they're not just coming in to break stuff. They're really coming in to get the tools and techniques they need to manage stress and health in a healthy manner and a healthy way.
Yashika hopes the smash therapy will be largely accepted as a productive way to release tension. The idea was originally a simple stress reliever for everyday problems, but it was warmly received after everything started shutting down due to the pandemic. Hungry for music? You can now order a concert instead of a pizza if you live in the German city of Frankfurt. Members of Frankfurt's Philharmonic Orchestra have decided to help music lovers now that concert halls are closed due to the pandemic. They offer short personal concerts at people's staircases for free. Instead, Frankfurt residents can donate money to the musicians who say the main goal is to revive the creative industry.
We play miniature concerts in people's homes of about 10 minutes, and we deliver along a route in our neighborhood so that people can enjoy some live music. For us, it's just beautiful being able to play for people again. What's great and absurd about this concept at the same time is that we play in order to keep a distance, yet we are so much closer than in a conventional concert hall. and that makes it so wonderful for us.
Those who ordered the concerts have called their experience delightful. They say the music delivery service has filled the void of the closure of theaters and music halls. The personal concerts can be booked online, performers observe health protocols and social distancing too. A rare black rhino calf becomes an internet celebrity as a video of her first wobbly steps has gone viral. The cute baby was born last week at Adubo Zoo in New South Wales, Australia. The newborn, yet to be named, has three siblings. Her mother is 18 years old and her father passed away a few months ago. Zookeepers watched the calf and her mother through cameras in order to create a proper atmosphere for them to make bond. The species is critically endangered because of poaching and habitat loss. Sophisticated scanning technology is revealing new secrets about Littlefoot. That's a well-preserved fossil of an early human forerunner dating back to nearly 3.7 million years ago.
Now, the importance of it is not only that it is the only complete skull of an Australopithecus from anywhere, but it is the only one with a complete skeleton as well. Furthermore, it is the oldest Australopithecus in southern Africa, dating to 3.67 million years ago. So it tells us a lot about our early ancestry. Now, we're not saying that Littlefoot represents a direct ancestor to modern humans, but certainly a relative, certainly a very close relative of our ancestors.
The fossil was found in South Africa in the 1990s. It's now being studied at a particle accelerator facility in Oxfordshire, Britain. The facility allows scientists to produce X-ray images of the fossil with extreme detail. They say the result has been fascinating.
The bone microstructure look amazing because we can really see the different tissues, the proportions, the thickness, and also the size of the different canals. So all of this make Littlefoot more like a living person.
So far, scientists have found that Littlefoot stood on her feet. They know she had gorilla-like features such as powerful hands, which enabled her to climb trees. But she also had different traits compared to the human species believed to have first appeared 300,000 years ago.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is Fear of God.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take.
But first, what date is today? Today, Friday, is the 28th of the month of Rajab 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Isfan 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of March 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Al-Hashr, verse 18 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin wattaqullaha inna Allaha khabirun bima ta'malun.
O you who have believed, fear Allah, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what you do.
Dear brothers and sisters, fear of Allah leads men to reflect upon his fate on the day of resurrection and purify his deeds. As mentioned, reiteration of fear of Allah lays further emphasis, since the springhead of all righteous deeds is fear of Allah. The Arabic word qad originally denotes tomorrow, but it connotates a day of resurrection. Since taking into account the life of the world, we notice that the day of resurrection will arrive soon. Fear of God stands for the mental pains arising from the anticipation of God's punishment for the commitment of acts of disobedience to Him. For that reason, the Sharia has paid a considerable attention to fear of Allah. Allah says in chapter 35, verse 28, only Allah's knowledgeable servants fear Him. Allah is majestic and all-pardoning. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, for those who avoid acts of disobedience or the illegal desire that is shown before them out of fear of Allah, Allah will prevent the fire of hell from consuming them, save them on the day of the grand horror, and fulfill his promise to them that he, Allah, cites in his book, as he says, those who fear their Lord will have two gardens. Chapter 55, verse 46. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, fear Allah as if you can see him before you. If you cannot see him before you, then it is surely that he can see you. If you think that he cannot see you, then you disbelieve him. If you realize that he, Allah, can see you and yet you commit acts of disobedience to him, then you consider him as the humblest among those who can see you. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with fearing God. One of the synonyms of pious al-muttaqi is a God-fearing person. In this way, we find that in Islamic books on moral education, it's indicated that people have to fear God. At the same time, we find that those people who never fear God and they behave in such a way as if they wouldn't be heedful of the presence of God everywhere and at every time, they usually become very insolent people, very aggressive, and those people who do whatever they might wish, not in a positive way, but in a rather negative way. We find that fearing God means that we have to fear being rather short of fulfilling our duties. For example, a medical doctor is expected to fulfill his or her duties as expected from him or her in a hospital or medical clinic. When a medical doctor is rather reckless about what's expected of him or her to do, we say that he doesn't fear anything. He doesn't fear being followed, being persecuted by the law.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and now, good fear and bad fear. When we read this word khawf in Arabic term, we have a common conception or misconception about its meaning. Some of our construct of what khawf, especially with regards to Allah Almighty, is perhaps not healthy and not correct. Yet from childhood, the concept of fearing Allah the Almighty is through negative associations and distances us from Him. Truly fearing Allah Almighty brings us closer to Him. Fear is a powerful and incredibly complex emotion, which at its core is an innate protective survival mechanism. Fear is an emotional based on a perceived danger that has not yet afflicted us. It may seize you due to past experiences or be a terror of an impending threat. Commonly, these include fear of death or harm, feeling trapped, abandoned, worthless, or humiliated. These fears are primal and seem to be hardwired. They may be rational or irrational. Following IRIB English Radio, and this program today is a special. And now, how to be fearful of Allah. Dear friend, one of the divine principles that Islam teaches people is to love Allah but to fear Him as well. The believer should be connected to his Lord, whose bounties, grace, and generosity are endless, with great love and respect. He should think that his compassion and mercy surrounds everything, and he should not give up hope of being forgiven, no matter what his sins are. Although the mercy, love, and compassion of Allah are endless, he should not forget that he is fiery and torture is severe, and he should fear him and should beware of his punishment.
Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in dua Abi Hamza al-Thimali, and the Imams in these supplications, they teach us how to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to better know the personality of God. And when I say personality, we say it symbolically. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't really have a personality the way we conceive of it. But the Imam is teaching us how to speak to the Almighty God to really benefit from His mercy. And one passage, the Imam alayhi salam says, "Oh Allah, if you put me in hell, ففي ذلك سرور عدو, your enemy will rejoice, because Iblis, the devil, he wants to take us to hell. That's his goal. But if you take me to heaven, ففي ذلك سرور نبيك, your prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi will be happy if you forgive me. وأنا أعلم والله أن سرور نبيك أحب إليك من سرور عدوك. And I know by Allah that you, O God, you prefer that your prophet becomes happy over shaitan becoming happy." See the Imam, how he teaches you to speak to Allah. In other words, the Imam is telling you, Allah did not create you to take you to hell. You were not created for hell. لِلْبَقَاءِ خُلِقْتُمْ لَا لِلْفَنَاءِ. Allah created you so you excel. You yourself take yourself to hell, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But learn to speak to Allah, because when you speak to Allah in such a way and you find the beauty of Allah, you will not want to sin.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.